I want to ask for your prayers again today, and before I read my scripture, I want to mention just a couple more things. I'm always the list of things that I write down to announce and request. I'm always missing someone, but I do want to say this, that I'm very thankful to see Brother Sailors back with us today, and Sister Sailors is in the hospital at Greenview, and let's remember her in our prayers. And also my wife and I in about the last 9 days or so, as we do every year, we have celebrated our anniversary and her birthday. Her birthday is actually today, and we had our 39th anniversary just a little over a week ago, and I thought that today I felt like that I wanted to tell her right here in front of the Lord and everybody how much I love her and appreciate the wife that she has been through the years. You know, I really wanted today to tell everybody her age, how old she is today, but I knew that wouldn't be smart. And so I just thought that I would just say when she has another birthday, she won't be in her 50s anymore. And I'll just let you all figure it out from there. So, I appreciate my wife. I've got about three different places that I need to read today, so if you want to follow along with me, you're going to have to do some page flipping. But I want to read first in Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 5, and read a few verses there. Today, and my thoughts were upon this as I said earlier, Veterans Day approaching, and I chose this for a title today. I want to talk about my all-time favorite veteran. Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 5. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Of God the Father." Now turn with me, if you will, to the first chapter of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. I want to share some scripture beginning with verse 13. This is talking about Jesus. It says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And I have one more place I'd like to call your attention to, 1 Timothy chapter 6. And I want to begin reading a few verses beginning with verse 13. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 13. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. And I want to ask you to notice in these three places that I have read, in the second chapter of Philippians, the Apostle Paul tells us that concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, that God has highly exalted him, that he exalted him to the point that he gave to him a name which is above every name. Many people through the years have written songs about that. What a lovely name, the name of Jesus. And so we see here in the Philippian letter how that God had exalted him with great measure. We find in the Colossian letter, in the first chapter of Colossians where I read, the Apostle Paul spoke about all the things concerning Christ being the head of the church and the firstborn from the dead and those things. And he said, in all things that he might have the preeminence. And that word simply means that he might be the superior one, that he might be superior to all. And then in the sixth chapter of 1 Timothy, the Apostle Paul spoke of him as being the only potentate. And I know that that's a word that that we don't often use in our language today. But I believe the Apostle Paul actually pretty well explained what it means in the remainder of that verse when he said, King of kings and Lord of lords. But if you want a dictionary definition, if you want to know what a potentate is, it's a person who possesses great power or sway. It is a prince, it's a sovereign, an emperor, a king, or a monarch. And I love the old Webster's Dictionary because he wrote this concerning what that means when it's being spoken about Jesus, because you could, there are men on earth that could hold that title, but when it's talking about the Lord Jesus, he said, exalting him not only above earthly princes and potentates, but above the highest of the celestial hierarchy. Jesus is above all. And that's what the Apostle Paul was speaking about in the Colossian letter, that in all things that he might have the preeminence. And we find in the second chapter of Philippians, and I want to speak to you today about the Lord Jesus Christ, about who he is, about what he came here to do. And, you know, lest we should ever forget this as his people, that he came here and he did something for us that nobody else could have ever done. He accomplished something that only he could accomplish. And he did for us the most important thing that anybody has ever done for us. And I'm going to say this, that if we ever leave off exalting the Lord Jesus Christ, then we are failing God miserably. Because Jesus said this, speaking about the death that he would die on the cross. He said, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me." And he was lifted up there at Calvary, and he was hung on a cross, and he did die there. But you know, we as his church today, as God's people today, we need to continue to lift him up. We need to continue to exalt him before this world. We need to continue to present him to men as the only means whereby they can be saved and to have eternal life. And in the years of my ministry, and I know these other preacher brothers here today would tell you the exact same thing, but in the years of my ministry, I have never preached salvation to people by any other means other than by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us in the fourth chapter of Acts, and I'm going to tell you what, to me, this is not an old story. To me, I love to hear it every time that I hear it. I guess I should say it this way. It's not a story that gets old. I love to hear over and over about the Lord Jesus, about what he came here to do. Think about the love that God had for us. When he looked down upon this old sin, sick, sin-cursed world, and he couldn't even find one. The Bible tells us in the 14th Psalm that the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men, and he couldn't even find one of us that was good. He couldn't find one that wasn't guilty of sin. He couldn't find even one that had not gone astray and sought after his own way. God looked down and he saw every one of us in the same condition, and we were completely and totally unworthy of anything that the Lord would do for us. But the Bible tells us that God so loved the world. I'll tell you what, that ought to ring in the ears of the people of God throughout all of eternity, that God so loved the world. Folks, that's you and me. That's not the cosmos. That's not the world from a geographical point of view. That's the inhabitants. That's the people of this world. God looked down upon us, and he loved us so much, even while we were dead in our sins, quickened us together with Christ. The Bible tells us that Jesus came here to die for sinners. Amen. To give his life a ransom for our sin. The one that knew no sin. The Apostle Paul said, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that though he was rich, he had it all, didn't he? He was in heaven. He was with God the Father. He was there in all of that glory and in all of that majesty. He's the one that John wrote about when he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And he was there in all of the splendor and the glory of heaven in his true form. Because he is Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. I'll tell you what, the world today, they trample the name of Jesus under their feet. But I'll tell you what, they better repent and they better turn to him, because there's coming a day when they're going to face him as judge. They're going to face him as judge. And so God loved us so much. He loved the world so much. He loved people so much. He loved fallen man so much. Remember this, every one of us today. I know today that those of us who are here that are saved, that we're thankful today for our salvation. You know, we may not, as it's been said, we may not always be as thankful as we should be, and we may not always show it like we should, but I know that every one of us today that knows the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin, I know down there in our heart that we are thankful to God today for what he did for us. Thankful for the time that he spoke peace to our soul, forgave us of our sins, even though we were not worthy of that. I'm thankful today that God loved this world enough. I've always felt like this. If I would have been the only one that would have needed Jesus, I believe he would have come to rescue me. I believe salvation is that personal. God gave us the best he had. Amen. The very best. I'll tell you what, if you go back and you read under the law, how that God required of Israel that when they brought a sacrifice before him, when they were to bring an animal before him to sacrifice, they were to bring the very best that they had. God would not accept their sacrifice if they went out and they got one of their animals that was sick or something like that. God required of them that they bring before him their prize animal. They bring the best they had before him to offer for sacrifice. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. Listen, when it came time for God to send his sacrifice into this world, I'm telling you, he gave us the best. He gave us a lamb without spot and without blemish. There was no sin in him, and there's still no sin in him, and there's never been any sin in him. He was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. Jesus, and it's been mentioned today, we have a world of people today. We have a nation before us today that, is just, everybody has their own ideas, don't they? We need this. We need this. We need a person that'll do this. We need a person that'll do this. I'm going to tell you something today. I know that there are a lot of secular things. I know that there are a lot of things that can be said from a natural point of view. But I'm going to tell you today, as far as I'm concerned, America's greatest need is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one that we need. Listen, you led a church, you led a nation, you led a family, you led a single person begin to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, exalt him to where he really ought to be, and you sit back and you watch the things that will happen. What was it that Jesus said? He said, if I be lifted up, I'll take care of it from there. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Amen. Yep. Amen. Jesus is what we need. Amen. He's what we need in our daily lives. He's all we need. He's all we need. There's a song, Jesus is all I need. People get up there, you know, they stand up before the people and they say, I'll do this for you and I'll do this for you and we'll do this and we'll do that. Let me tell you what, there ain't any of us that are ever going to do anything good without the Lord. Righteousness exalteth a nation. And that's all that will. Well, I'm Jerry Miller, and I approve that message. That's what will exalt a nation. You know, we need the man, Christ Jesus. That's who we need. He said in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said this. I want you to listen to this, lost friend. Listen, don't be looking for anything else. Don't be looking for anybody else, because Jesus said this himself. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, speaking about Jesus, said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus left heaven. He came down the stairways of heaven to earth. He came here. He was made in the likeness of men. The Bible says that he humbled himself and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The very Son of God, he allowed wicked men to torture him, to punish him. He allowed them to take him and place him on the cross. And let me tell you something. Don't ever make any mistake about it. Jesus was in control of that situation from beginning to the end. He was doing what he had come here to do. He came here to this world to die for our sins. Brother Mike, for your sin, for my sin. Brother Ernie, for your sin, for our sin, each and every one of us. He came here to die for us. Now, I'll tell you what. If we can't love him supremely for that, then we'd have some cold hearts, wouldn't we? He came here and he was beaten. He was scourged. You know what they did to him? You know what he let them do? They took a whip full of bone, glass, and they beat him with that until he was a bloody mess. Read the 52nd chapter of Isaiah about his visage, about his countenance. It was marred, the Bible says, more than any. They placed a crown of thorns on his head. They slapped him in the face. They hit him with sticks. They mocked him. They ridiculed him. They made fun of him. And he went through all of that. Now take your finger, point it at yourself. Say, he went through all of that so that I could be saved. So that I could be saved. He went through all of that so that I could have a home in heaven. So that I could be forgiven of sin when this life has come to an end. And Jesus, you know, if I was going to put it in the terms of young people today, what you hear a lot of young people say today, I just have to tell you this. Jesus, he's the man. I'm telling you, he's the man. There ain't ever been anybody like him. and there never will be again. The Hebrew letter, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, tells us that he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. You see, Jesus didn't just have the power. Go read the 10th chapter of the Gospel according to John. Jesus did not only have the power to sacrifice his life. He didn't only have the power to lay it down, but he said he had the power to take it up again. Tell me anybody else that could have ever done that. That he could lay his life down and then on scheduled time he could take it up again. And that's exactly what he did. And that's why he is alive today, seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for our prayers. And folks, listen, if he wasn't there, if we did not have that one mediator today, we would not be able to communicate with God. We would not be able to get our prayers through if it were not for Jesus being that mediator between God and men. He died, and by his own power, he took up his life again. He rose from the dead. He ascended back after many days back to heaven, and he's there right now. And I'm going to go see him here one of these days. Listen, I'm thankful. I want to end with this because I told you what I wanted to use today for a title. I want to end with this. I'm thankful today. I truly am. I'm thankful today especially for those who served our country and paid the ultimate sacrifice. I'm thankful for the veterans. I'm thankful for all veterans, but I'm thankful especially for those who are willing to give their life for the freedoms that you and I enjoy today. And we ought to respect them. And they shouldn't be ridiculed the way that they often are. And they shouldn't be disrespected the way that they often are. But I'm going to tell you something. Those freedoms, that those natural freedoms, national freedoms, that our veterans bled and died for, never came with a perpetual promise that we would always have them. I'm glad that we've had them as long as we have, aren't you? But they never came with an eternal promise. But I'm going to tell you something. One day, as a young man in the summer of 1973, I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus Christ set me free. He set me free. He set me free from the bondage of sin. He set me free from the fear of eternal death and hell without him. I'm telling you, that night when I called upon him, he set me free. And the Bible, and Jesus said this in John chapter 8. He said, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. He's my favorite veteran. Because I've got a freedom in him. I've got a freedom that he secured that nobody can take from me. Never be abolished. I'll never have to go back. We may have to go back, church. I think we all know this. We may go back to the days of physical persecution. We may have to return to that. But we won't ever have to return to being lost in sin again, will we? Even, I'll tell you what, throughout the ages, even when God's people didn't enjoy the freedom of religion that we enjoy today, they were still free. They were free because they were free in the Lord. He set them free. And I don't have a material thing in my possession that cannot be taken away from me. But I do have something in my heart that nobody nobody can take. And thank Jesus today for what he did. Thank him for his sacrifice. Listen, there's people that ought to be respected and loved, but nobody ever ought to be exalted like Jesus. He deserves it all. He's the one that God highly exalted and gave him a name above every name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus. Like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away. But there's something about that name. Thank you for listening. As we have a song and stand, if you're here today and you're lost, I'm just going to tell you, I want to tell you the truth. If you're here today and you're lost, you're going to stay in that condition until you come to Jesus with all your heart. And if you fail to do that, you're going to die that way. And you're going to spend eternity in a devil's hell. Without him, nobody gets it. Nobody gets saved until they come to Jesus, because he's the only way that we can be.
231, number 231. Praise him, praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, his wonderful love proclaim. Hail him, highest archangel in glory. Strength and honor give to his holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard his children. In his arms he carries them all day long. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins he suffered and bled and died. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail him, Jesus the crucified. Sound his praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep, and strong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals, loud with Hosanna ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. You know, Fanny Crosby wrote that song over 100 years ago.